This Week in Agriculture is a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at This Week in the Markets, I'm Jamie Dickerman. Wheat came up double digits. AgWatch Market Advisors analyst Dewey Strickler says issues in the Baltic region firing up that wheat market this week.
We got some issues going on with Ukraine and Russia. They got some increase in escalation of activity, military activity there. You know, that's having an issue over in the Baltic Sea with their ports there and disrupting shipping here somewhat. But in the corn and beans, it's just mostly because of weather. You know, a few weeks ago, everyone was looking for August to be possibly have an event here, weather event during the month, but we are going to be looking at heat, but we're also looking at normal to above normal moisture, and I see in the recent forecast where they've increased that moisture here a bit, at least for the next 2 weeks. So, you know, as far as weather market's concerned, it's beginning to fade.
Total Farm Marketing Senior Advisor Naomi Bloom says the focus continues to be the weather and next week's USDA reports.
Well, it's a combination of position squaring into the weekend, along with the day traders keeping themselves entertained. So hear me out. So what we've got going on with the wheat market today, definitely, yes, double-digit gains for sure. The September Chicago wheat contract trading at 643, it's up just over 11 cents. Technically, though, it still is just an inside trading day from yesterday's trading range. The market yesterday and today tested major support levels of the 40-day, 50-day, and 100-day moving averages. They have held for the entire week, but our high prices are getting lower. And every day the market has been testing some short-term overhead resistance levels, but ultimately we're kind of stuck in a short-term range. Same holds true for corn and soybeans.
North Star Commodities CEO Mark Schultz says the market is essentially in a holding pattern until the USDA releases those fresh numbers.
We've had the sell-off here in the last 5 to 6 days since last Friday's big rain event that moved across a large portion of the Midwest in here. And it's since then we've got cooler temperatures with rain in the forecast. So there's not a lot of things to get excited about at this point. I think we're just kind of buying time until we get to next week's August crop report to see whether or not we get any type of significant changes there. The crop itself coming up here and In this Minnesota area, I was out doing some at Farm Fest yesterday, and the crops certainly look very, very good in the Iowa-Minnesota area. But the further west you continue to go, it gets warmer and it gets drier, and the crop continue to deteriorate. So,
latest Rural Main Street Index shows the farm economy remains under pressure across a 10-state region that includes the Northern Plains and Midwest. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss says the July index stayed well below the growth neutral mark for the fifth time in the past 6 months.
Most of the scores that we calculate here are range between 0 and 100, with 50 being growth neutral, and the index is well below growth neutral. In fact, for the fifth time in the past 6 months, it was below growth neutral. It was around 42 for the month of July, and of course, that's not good.
Goss says weak commodity prices and rising input costs continue to pressure the farm economy, leading many farmers to delay major purchases.
The farmers sitting there trying to looking at the intermediate to short term and saying now's not the time. I mean, they're getting very conservative and rightfully so in terms of spending money on lots of things. And some of it, we're talking about cutting back on fertilizer, for example.
With a look at This Week in the Markets, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
Hey, sugar beet growers, visit your Amity technology dealer. Make your best deal on the already discounted Amity sugar beet cart and get a $10,000 credit for Amity parts. The sugar beet cart from Amity is a field-proven solution engineered for all field conditions. You'll keep going when others have to slow down or stop. Find your dealer at amitytech.com and snag that $10,000 parts credit with your purchase of the 35-ton Amity sugar beet cart. Imagine this. You gather a stadium full of farmers, step up to the podium, and tell them about your business. What would that be worth to you and your company? This is Don Wick from the Red River Farm Network. We fill that stadium every day with some of the most progressive-minded, forward-thinking farmers and ranchers around the world. Find out how the Red River Farm Network can carry your message to farmers and ranchers. We're the Red River Farm Network, and we're reporting agriculture's business.
This is your weekend news on the Red River Farm Network. My name is Chloe Wadd. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison and the Federal Trade Commission reached a 10-year antitrust settlement with John Deere. It gives farmers and independent businesses the ability to repair their equipment. Minnesota Farmers Union President Gary Wordish praised Ellison for his work on this issue.
You know, it's important. When the farmers spend hundreds of thousands of dollars for the equipment, they should have the right to repair it themselves. You know, there was an MOU that was signed a few years back with John Deere and the other OEMs, but that does not give everything that the farmer or the independent repair shop needs to actually fix. It gave them some stuff, but not everything they needed.
The Farm Bill came up short in the Senate Agriculture Committee. Farm Bill 2.0 failed to get enough votes to move forward. Differences remain over the handling of SNAP. The Senate Democrats want a 2-year delay for the states to reduce their SNAP error rates, and the Republican majority is focused on a 1-year delay. The Senate began its August recess. Minnesota Farm Bureau is expressing disappointment after the Farm Bill failed to pass. Minnesota Farm Bureau President Dan Glessing says the bill included several priorities supported by members, including permanent year-round E15, but saying failing to move the legislation forward leaves farmers facing continued uncertainty. Glessing called the delay frustrating after more than 3 years of work on the issue and is urging lawmakers to come together and pass a farm bill that provides certainty for agriculture. With it being an election year, Minnesota Farm Fest was swarming with political candidates.
There's some pretty tight races here. So, and obviously next week with the primaries happening, there's going to be... There's a lot of competition here. Let's just put it that way.
That's Minnesota's Soybean Growers Association past president, Darren Johnson. At Farm Fest, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins announced a series of listening sessions to gather public input about the accuracy of USDA reports. Minnesota Corn Growers Association member John Maugus was part of a roundtable discussion about the modernization of data collection.
Data collection, the survey, she's talking how the survey response has been going down. You know, if they make it an easier system, we could probably just do it from our phone or our iPad. We could report simply that it takes less time. I think you get better response from farmers.
While at FarmFest, Agriculture Secretary Rollins also announced the Risk Management Agency is giving farmers an additional 60 days to pay crop insurance premiums. During this period, crop insurance providers can waive interest charges. This is for those with a scheduled premium billing date between July 1st and the end of September. The USDA's annual land value summary found that average values of U.S. farm real estate continue to climb this year, despite ongoing pressure from lower commodity prices and tighter farm margins. Kyle Nelson, real estate appraiser and sales agent with Farmers National Company, says the report reflects what he's seeing across the Northern Plains.
You know, the land value report isn't a surprise. We're still seeing some pretty strong sales activity. I attribute it right now. Basically, we're kind of in an imbalance. We're balanced between supply and demand. There's not a surplus of land on the market for the most part in most areas, and there's still good demand. So that's helping, as I see it, keep, you know, land values steady to, you know, maybe they're up in some places a little bit, maybe they're sliding south a little bit in some areas, but that's what I see as a key factor.
USDA has confirmed a total of 45 New World screwworm cases since the first case was detected. The latest USDA dashboard shows just 5 cases remaining. That was your weekend farm news on the Red River Farm Network.
Boost your crop's health with Domark 230 ME and Badge SC fungicide exclusively from Gowan USA. Domark's systemic action teams up with Badge's outstanding mixing properties for unbeaten disease control on sugar beets and dried edible beans. Experience the power of 2 different modes of action with Domark and Badge. Don't wait. Contact your local ag retailer and ask about Domark 230 ME and Badge SC. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan USA.
On air and online, the Red River Farm Network is reporting agriculture's business. RRFM.com has news headlines, weather, and markets, all as close as your PC or smartphone. The Red River Farm Network also keeps you up to date on Facebook and our weekly e-newsletter, FarmNet News. Sign up today at RRFM.com.
From the farm field to Capitol Hill, from the tractor cab to the coffee shop, the Red River Farm Network, reporting agriculture's business.
Your weekend weather on the Red River Farm Network. My name is Chloe Wadd. The upper Midwest saw another active weather week with a mix of heat, scattered thunderstorms, and growing moisture concerns. Northern and eastern Minnesota picked up beneficial rainfall in spots, while much of North Dakota and South Dakota remained drier, allowing flash drought conditions to expand in parts of the northern plains. Temperatures generally ran near to above normal, with several days in the 80s to 90s. Looking ahead, forecasters say additional scattered rain chances will be important as crops move through key reproductive stages and drought concerns continue to build in the western Dakotas. Crops in southwest Minnesota are in better shape than many other parts of the region after timely rainfall arrived late last week. Franklin farmer Brian Greenslit says harvest is still several weeks away, but corn has good yield potential.
The only thing that's being harvested right now is sweet corn. Most people that grow sweet corn for Green Giant, that's coming out of the field. The small grain, which is a very, very small percentage of our part of the world, that's pretty much all done. Corn is on track for just being normal harvest time, which, you know, for us is typically sometime in the first week in October. We do not have the record crop that we had last year, but it looks pretty darn good. We just picked up 3 3/4 inches late last week, and we have a really decent crop.
Blair Hoseth farms in the Menomon, Minnesota area. Moisture has been quite short in that region.
I'd say 90% of the acres right in our immediate area are surprisingly looking well, but I just don't know how well they're doing. You know, the combine will tell a lot bigger story.
The recent rains have improved crop conditions across parts of northwest Minnesota, although moisture remains uneven from field to field. Roseau area farmer Richard Magnuson says timely showers have helped crops, but harvest is already beginning on some specialty crops.
You know, generally things are looking pretty good. You know, we've caught some rain over the past 2 weeks here, but it's been spotty. It's not, everybody hasn't gotten as much, and, you know, obviously, I think there's some people, some areas still looking for rain. Some areas are, you know, are adequate. You know, and actually, we're into harvest, so rain isn't necessarily the greatest right at the moment when we're trying to harvest ryegrass.
Scattered rainfall has provided a boost to crops across parts of the Northern Valley, but the driest areas are still waiting for meaningful moisture. Pioneer field agronomist Kevin Sinner says soybeans have handled the summer's heat better than expected, although the central Red River Valley remains short on rain.
Well, it's been pretty good. You know, the beans seem like they hung on a little bit better even than a lot of the corn did through all that heat and no rain. And then we did finally get some rain in spots anyways late last week and early this week. However, the middle part of the Red River Valley got probably the least amount, it seems like, and that's where it was the driest to begin with. So they're unfortunately probably going to continue to struggle there, but standing in some soybeans up by East Grand Forks right now, and they're mud sticking to my boots, so that's a good thing. We should come around here. So,
Sinner also says the canola crop is looking promising, especially north of Grand Forks and into the northwest Minnesota area, where timely moisture has set the stage for what could be above average yields later this month. North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring is asking farmers and ranchers to submit information directly to the National Drought Mitigation Center about the impact of the dry conditions. Goring said this information can be used in developing the weekly drought monitor map, which triggers state and federal relief. That was your weekend weather recap on the Red River Farm Network.
The North Dakota mill has been producing northern-grown spring wheat and durum flour since 1922. The mill now adds value to more than 30 million bushels per year. North Dakota mill employees take pride in the highest quality spring wheat and durum wheat products for the baking and pasta industries. Look for Dakota-made flour in 5, 10, and 25-pound packages, as well as pancake and bread machine mixes. Spring wheat and durum flour, superior quality, is what separates the North Dakota mill from the competition.
Harvest Hotline brings you daily updates with farmers, custom harvesters, elevator managers, and more. Get the latest on harvest progress, yields, and what's happening in the field. Harvest Hotline can be heard weekdays at 12:37 during Agriculture Today. Harvest Hotline brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, North Dakota Mill, and U.S. Custom Harvesters. We're the Red River Farm Network, reporting agriculture's business.